what was your first games experience like in 2008?
It was awesome. Because I had no expectations. And really, we were just...
Different.
There was no expectation, and there's only one game, so nobody really knew what they were doing. And it was like, we really just wanted to see if what we were doing every day was really CrossFit. We're mm-hmm. like, are we doing this right? Because all we're doing is just
measuring up. Yeah.
So we just kind of wanted to see where things shook out. And so it was like, it was so cool. It was so like raw and real and like unpredictable. And it was really cool.
This is episode number 113 with Tanya Wagner. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. Now, I don't know about you, but over here in Cleveland, I am starting to get very excited about summertime, which means it's almost time for one of my favorite things, grilling season. Growing up, my family had a cottage in northern Michigan, and some of my fondest memories are evenings gathering with friends and family on the porch for a big barbecue after a long day of boating, swimming, and tubing on the lake. The more I learn about health, the more I've come to believe that it matters so much where our food comes from, and particularly when it comes to meat. I believe that meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and that are fed primarily corn and soy, and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, versus those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. High-quality meat like this is hard to come by, but ButcherBox makes it super easy by delivering 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild Alaskan sockeye salmon directly to your doorstep. All of their products are humanely raised and never ever given antibiotics or hormones. This gives me a lot of peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat and seafood is the highest quality out there and will taste amazing. Plus, they offer free shipping anywhere in the contiguous 48 United States. How amazing is that? So, after 3 years of living in our house, my husband Danny and I are super excited to finally be finishing off our tiny little backyard this spring, and I can't wait to fire up our grill and enjoy our ButcherBox meats with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And now you can join us, because ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer for Pursuing Health listeners. $20 off plus an ultimate barbecue bundle for free with your first box. Now, the bundle includes 2 New York strip steaks, baby back ribs, as well as 2 pounds of ground beef, which is a $59 value. Supplies are limited, though, so you'll want to order now to take advantage of this offer. You can go right to butcherbox.com/Julie to place your order. Once again, that's $20 off plus the ultimate barbecue bundle, 2 strip steaks, baby back ribs, and 2 pounds of ground beef for free with your first box by going to butcherbox.com/Julie. If you're looking forward to hosting your first backyard barbecue of the season as much as I am, hopefully you'll check this out. Hi there, everyone, and welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I was very excited to have the opportunity to sit down and chat with Tanya Wagner, who you may know as the 2009 Women's CrossFit Games champion. She has also been a CrossFit Games commentator. She's a longtime CrossFit affiliate owner, and she's a mother of 2 lovely young kids. We got to sit down and catch up at the very first ever Rogue Invitational, where we were both competing in the Legends division, and we sat down after we had completed our first event on Saturday of the weekend. Now, I had watched Tanya win the 2009 games in online videos, and that was one of my first encounters with the CrossFit Games and what really inspired me to take on competing and eventually led me to be there in 2010. And although we've crossed paths many times over the past 10 years, this was the first time we really got to sit down and have a full in-depth conversation. I loved every single minute of it, and I think that you will too. We talked about everything from her athletic background prior to CrossFit to some of her experiences competing in 2008 and 2009, her transition to team competition, how her approach to training changed through her pregnancies and postpartum, what it's like to run an affiliate, her experience commentating for the CrossFit Games, as well as some of her reactions to the recent changes in the game season, and her thoughts about returning to the competition floor for the Rogue Invitational. Now, before we get started, I have a few quick reminders as usual. First, this episode is produced by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and the one I've been using since 2009. You can learn more at beyondthewhiteboard.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, we'll get started here with episode number 113 of Pursuing Health featuring Tanya Wagner. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm super excited to be here with Tanya Wagner, and we are at the Rogue Invitational. How do you feel?
This is awesome. I'm still in shock that I get to work out with you all.
I know. I was thinking, actually, I don't think that we've ever competed in the same event before.
I started in 2010. And I was on the team side, so yeah. I saw you. I watched you, but I didn't get to compete next to you.
I know. I'm so excited.
And you know how, like, the whole era changed a little bit?
Yes.
After I left, and it was like, oh, the new, I didn't get to really work out with the new generation.
That overlap. And yeah. I mean, for me, it's so cool because 2009 was, that's when I started, and I watched those games online, like, over and over again. And it was so cool. I just remember you in the last event, and it was so exciting to watch. And then to be able to actually be there and then meet you, even though you weren't competing in the team, I mean, it's exciting. Yeah, and here we are, like, 10 years later.
I know. We finally get to work out.
I know.
Well, I was telling Annie Sakamoto that her videos are what made me feel like, all right, I can do a pull-up. If that pregnant woman can do a pull-up, I can. So it needs, like, all the generations of inspiration throughout, and we all get to meet together.
It's so cool. So when is the last time that you have been on a competition floor prior to this event?
With my team, I was 2016 at the regionals.
Okay, so it hasn't been too long.
No, but team is so different.
It's different. It's very
different. It's like I could sleep better.
Yeah.
And it's not the same adrenaline, but the individual is always so different. I was individual in 2012 at regionals.
Okay.
With Josh, and that was long enough ago.
Yeah.
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 So that was the last time I was actually an individual on the floor.
That's crazy. Yeah. And right now we have just finished our first event. Mm-hmm. And then we're going into Amanda this evening. How are you feeling after that?
Okay. Well, let me just tell you about Amanda. When I saw it was that, I'm like, well, I've never done Amanda.
You haven't? So I was going to ask you if you've ever done it at home or not.
I haven't. So I'm really excited. Like, I never had the reason to. Like,
yeah.
I totally can. And, you know, all those workouts are, you know, you can, like, oh, I should do that one. Mm-hmm. I just never had the opportunity to do it. And I still have a little post-traumatic stress from the games. Like, it's funny when you brought up the last event. Like, I, like, nightmares about the muscle-ups. Like,
really?
I'm better at muscle-ups. I can do them. But, like, there's the thing that sets in when you're just, like, paralysis of the muscle up, but mm-hmm. I did them a couple weeks ago in the online qualifier. I can do them.
You can do them.
It's just when you get in front of, like, the pressure of it, and I'm like, ugh. So I will be doing mine singles or doubles, and that's it as far as I go. So yes.
Oh, it's so exciting and cool that, because you competed with Amanda, correct? Because she competed in 2009.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about that, I was like, I did. I competed with her on the ranch, and I watched you all do that one under the lights in Carson on mm-hmm. Friday night, and I remember, like, it was a really emotional event because it was like the first tribute to one of our own games athletes, you know. And so it was really emotional. I thought that I was like, well, you know what, I'm thankful I get the opportunity to do it here at mm-hmm. Rogue and in a competition setting because mm-hmm. I didn't then.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I want to go back a little bit and just get some of your background and how you got into CrossFit in the first place. So how long have you been doing CrossFit for now?
It was the fall of 2007.
Okay.
When we found it, and it was just the 300 workout.
Okay.
And so we just did that every week.
Like, and this is you and your husband?
Oh, me and my husband. Okay. And it was one of his coworkers at the time that was that found the workout, and we kept finding more CrossFit mm-hmm. videos, and it was just the videos. And it was the Annie Sakamoto videos, the Nasty Girls videos, and that's how we were like, oh, there's more workouts like that. We want to do the same 300 every single week and, like, retest our scores weekly. So, we would, like, literally train for the 300. Like, we would do that, and then we'd be like, all right, I got to get better push-ups. And then we'd, like, work some sets of push-ups. Like, it was ridiculous. And then we found CrossFit. And so then we went to our first level one in the spring of 2008 and met Greg Glassman there. So that was super fun to hear him give lectures. And then we went to an East Coast Championship competition mm-hmm. with Kirstie Atkins.
Kirstie all coming then. Together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Josh, at the time when we were at the level one, he said, he asked Greg, he's like, you're going to be at the competition up, you know, up yeah. there. Because there was only like two competitions like
right.
ever for CrossFit at that time. Like it wasn't a lot. But he's like, no, I'm going to be at one over across seas. He was going to be busy. So he's like, but tell me who wins that one. I'm going to send him out to the games because oh. the game's already been closed.
Yeah.
And so we got in the car and Josh was like, you're our ticket to the games. I'm like, I am? What are you talking about? Like, we still didn't even know if we were doing legitimate CrossFit at the
yeah.
time. So we go to this competition and I did take first. So
that was your ticket to the
yes,
games.
So he emails Greg Glassman, greg@crossfit.com. Like yeah. it was when anybody could still email yeah. him then. And he's like, hey, just want to let you know my wife want to try. And Greg's like, that's great. Come on out to the games. And you know, you did so well too, Josh. Come on in. So that is how we got to the games.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I did not know that story.
It's a silly story. Yeah, you mean unreal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So was that 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then what was your first games experience like in 2008?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I had no expectations. And
yeah.
really, we wanted to see.
It was so
yeah.
different.
There was no expectation. And there's only one game, so nobody really knew what they were doing. And it was like, we really just wanted to see if what we were doing every day was really CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we doing this right? Because all
right,
we're doing
like,
is watching
this
videos.
Measuring up? Yeah.
Yeah. So we just kind of wanted to see where things shook out. And so it was like, it was so cool. It was so like raw and real and like unpredictable. And it was really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And what was your background prior to, like, did you play sports growing mm-hmm. up?
Yeah, I was soccer.
Okay.
So I was a goalkeeper in soccer.
Okay.
My whole life. That was my.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be good at accuracy then tomorrow for the biathlon.
We'll see about that. We'll see. Shooting. I don't really know.
It's different.
Like completely different.
Very
but
different.
No, we'll see. But, but no, the thing about CrossFit that I loved was the fact that like it made me stronger because through competing in college, I had a really bad back. I couldn't even lift with a strength program like,
oh, wow.
or like different things. I had mm-hmm. my senior year, I would actually just play every other game.
Wow.
And they're like, you know, I didn't know any different. They're like, you know, don't deadlift, don't squat. And
uh-huh.
I was told all these things and I believe that I was just that was the way it is and
yeah.
it wasn't going to change. So the really cool thing that I love about CrossFit, and I've had so many thoughts like coming into the Invitational,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like you posted all of your, like
yeah.
I told you, I loved
brings back a lot
watching
of memories.
Your memories. Yeah. I thought back and I'm like, the crazy thing is now, like my goal for here was make sure my back is healthy enough so that I can have fun and enjoy the moment
mm-hmm.
here. Because my back has always been my weakness. And
yeah.
so that's where I didn't even used to work out before CrossFit because my back was bad. And so I've gotten so much stronger. I'm like, the funny thing is the full circle that it's come, like I've competed, I've gotten stronger. And like, it's just really funny that like CrossFit's gotten me through so much. And I never would have thought back in college that I would ever be in this position.
Yeah. Where you're deadlifting and squatting
yeah.
and doing all these things. That's
yeah.
crazy. And then you went into physical education as well. What kind of led you down that direction to want to teach other people about sports? And
well, I was, I have a sport management degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working in just corporate sales at a regular Globo gym.
Okay.
And, that's where I met Josh, my husband.
Okay.
And so he was going through, his student teaching at the time. And
okay.
I liked what he was doing a lot better than sales. I'm like, I don't like sales. I hate this. I actually really like telling people about working out more.
Yeah.
And he was teaching little kids and I love little kids. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know what? I think that, yeah. I need to go back and get a different degree. So I went back for teaching.
Oh,
so
wow.
2 years I went back to school and I got my teaching degree. And then, but I realized it all fell into place. And the reason why all of it, because I'm like, all right, sport management degree and then a teaching and then we find CrossFit and then we open our affiliate and it kind of
all
just
comes together.
Yes.
There's a reason
so
for everything.
There is. So it really, all the puzzles, the pieces came together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when did you end up opening the affiliate?
Oh, pretty soon actually. We thought we were behind. Like when we found CrossFit,
yeah.
we were like, oh man, there's already 300 affiliates. Yeah, we have to catch up. We didn't want to miss it. So we were like 300 and something affiliate. And it was February 2008 is
okay.
when we affiliated in our first class. It was a free Saturday in the
yeah.
park in April of 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then, so then you competed in the 2008 games. And then after you'd been there and you'd kind of seen what it was all about, what was your approach kind of going back home? Were you like, I'm definitely doing this again next year? Or was it kind of just seeing what happened?
Oh, no, I was going back for sure.
Okay.
Because it was so much fun. And it was like, 2008, I think, was even more fun than 2009. Because I didn't know what to expect. It was so
yeah.
much fun.
Yeah.
And Katie beat me
mm-hmm.
by 10 seconds. And so Josh didn't let me live that down for a whole year. So that whole year was like really my year. I committed to training that entire year. And mm-hmm. I really did. I was like, but I didn't love... I mean, I loved CrossFit, but I was like, yeah, the training and the pressure and all that. I was like, well, I kind of was done with all that with soccer. And so I was doing that for like, it was so much fun. But I knew I was like, okay, I'll do one more year. I'm not sure I can keep this up because it's just like there's so much that goes into it.
There's
and that was
so
back
much.
Then, and it really wasn't.
It was different for sure. And just for people listening, when you say Katie, you mean Katie Henniger,
yes.
who at that time was Katie Matter, who won the 2008 games. And now she's here in this empire of Rogue with her mm-hmm. husband, Bill, which is just crazy.
Yes.
Kind of where everything has come. But that's really interesting about the pressure because a lot of people who want to compete in CrossFit, it's because they had a background in sports. They are very competitive. And I agree. There comes a time where you can't constantly be living under that same high pressure situation, training year round, like year after year after year.
Yeah.
So I think it's very mature of you that you at that point said, okay, I can't keep doing this forever. Because so many times for myself, I talked about this in one of my memories where you do something and you're good at it and you're like, okay, I have to keep doing it. But it doesn't, if it's not fun and if it's not something that you really want to do, you don't have to keep.
Yeah. Well,
doing
that's what
it happened.
It became a have to. Like, and people still talk about that now, and it's obviously so different. Like, I still had a job. I still had a lot of different things that people just can't keep up.
Right.
That kind of schedule. But I really wanted a family. Mm-hmm. And that was really my biggest thing. Like, I wanted my kids young because I always had in my head, like, my body had taken a toll diving on the ground for mm-hmm. years of my life that I was like, I want to be a mom that can move with her kids and mm-hmm. move, and I don't want to be broken, so I wanted to have my kids early, but I'm like, shoot, I found CrossFit, and I really like competing, but I think this is, like, it was just at that time, I was like, okay, I can have my kids, and I can just go back.
Yeah.
Like, you don't
no
really
problem.
Think what's going to happen and then all the changes and everything, so, but yeah, that was kind of in the back of my head. If I do this early enough, then I can have my kids
still have a long career of competing in CrossFit. So what was your training like then leading up to the 2009 games at that time when you're focused on it and at that particular period in the sport?
3 days on, 1 day off, mm-hmm. 2 days on, 1 day off. Like, it was mostly really that.
Yep.
I always did better with a little more rest, so mm-hmm. recovery was not my strength. So, mm-hmm. It was back then, so it was a lot of intensity and mm-hmm. not a lot of body maintenance. So, it was, mm-hmm. Four or five times a week I worked out, mm-hmm. very intense, and that was it. Yeah.
And was it, like, multiple sessions, multiple workouts?
No.
This was very much like one workout.
One workout. I mean, there was like Saturdays were usually a little more fun. So there were times where we would do more workouts. Mm-hmm. We went through like stints of that. Or if it was in the summer, mm-hmm. a lot of, Josh was a teacher. I was a teacher. Our co-owner's a teacher. We had a lot of teachers. So in the summer is where we got to play even more.
You had more time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we didn't have kids, so we could do a lot more.
And too, the 2008 games, I think it was 2009 that started really hammering on the volume, right?
Yeah,
I remember that one day of competition.
Yeah.
So before that, there probably wasn't really a reason for you to think, I need to train a lot of volume mm-hmm. or multiple workouts because it wasn't.
It was more like if you did a shorter workout and you're like, okay, I need to do something else. Yeah. That wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm. So you win the 2009 games. Or can you take us through sort of that experience that weekend after you'd trained all year, you knew you kept being reminded that Katie
seconds.
Beat you by 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
What was that competition weekend like for you?
That was the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, it was, I had nightmares like of Dave.
Wow.
Like, Dave has been in more of my dreams than I can care to tell you. Like,
probably
was,
for all of us,
I think,
I'm
for
sure.
Everybody. I know, because you hear his voice and he's telling you something that you're like, what? And I was always confused in my dreams because I'm like, wait, what is he telling us we have to do now? Like, there's always like the unknown, like the nervous belly of like,
last weekend I was teaching level one at HQ, and the evening they always do like a group workout for everyone who's there.
Did your heart
and
start
literally he comes up behind me, he's like, do you want to do a trail run?
You're
and
like,
I'm
don't
like,
even.
I'm like, start getting palpitations.
You did. Yeah, I know.
It's like just a fun trail run with like the participants.
There's something about the way he presents it, and you're like, my stomach hurts. What? But yeah, so that was. Like, but the 2009 games, it was so much volume. It was so much more than anybody had expected. And then people are like getting hurt, and like after one or two events, and they're done.
It's crazy.
And it was like the max deadlift after the run, and it was like, wait, people are PRing, and I was surprising myself, and people are surprising themselves because they still hadn't really been tested yet in the sport. So it was a really good year to test like what people were capable of.
Right.
But like the fixed handstand push-ups on parallettes, like,
oh my gosh,
things like that. And like, I remember beforehand, and Dave's like, can anybody do these? We're like, we've never tried.
Yeah.
Like, why would we ever know? We don't. What?
Why would we practice that?
So, so it was like, it was really a surprising weekend that I didn't know if I was as ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, yeah, and but it was, the, I'll never forget the very end, the lunges to the end, the overhead plate lunges. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't ever have to do this again.
Ever.
This is amazing. Like, I love what has happened with the leaderboard. I hate looking at the leaderboard, but yeah. Like, I love that it was ending. And I was like, I feel so good being done. I just want to be done because it's like the satisfaction of completing something. And
that you set your mind
yes,
to. Yes.
And then I worked so hard the whole year for it. Yeah. And it was, yeah. And I was like, okay.
And a win on top of
yeah.
it.
That was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So after that, did you, even after winning, did that like put a little bit of a bug in your ear to be like, maybe I should do this again
Dave
or
did.
Not at all?
Dave kept, he was like, you're going to go back. Like, he kept like throughout times when I'd see him throughout yeah. the year, he kept telling me, yeah, and then when you go back, I'm like, team. All I would say to him was team. I'm going team.
Because
I still liked competition.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have more fun with other people because it yeah. gets a little, you know, it gets a little lonely.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure and a lot of internal mm-hmm. and a lot of thinking and
yeah.
a little too much time in your head. So if
right.
you have a team to share all that with, it's a little more fun.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what the team was like. So we decided to go team
mm-hmm.
and we came out to Katie and Bill put on, it was the sectional year.
Yeah.
But they put on the regionals. And I guess at that time teams could just register for a regional.
Okay.
So we
that was in Logan, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I was there.
Yes. That is the year you
were
there.
That was my first competition.
But I didn't know you there, but I did. You were there.
Right.
Yes.
But I remember seeing you
yes.
there. Yeah.
And so our team took first there. And so yeah. that was fun. So we'd have a little rogue, the big tree that we had to carry,
yes.
the big log. We
oh my gosh,
still
I kept
in our gym.
That for so long.
Yes.
And I would like move it to my parents' house and they're like, can we get rid of this? Yeah.
Are we done
and I'm
with
like,
this?
No, can
is
just
this still
hang
sentimental?
On to it. It's like, this is a big piece of
yes.
wood. What are we going to do with it?
But that was my start.
Yeah. That was very sentimental, yeah. our prize for the regionals. And then if I recall, when you actually were at the games with your team, were you pregnant already
yeah,
at that
I was.
Time? I remember
that
hearing
wasn't,
that.
That wasn't planned.
Did you know that at
I
the
did.
Time?
I found
okay.
out literally like the week before we were going out.
Okay.
And I'm like, whoa,
that's
team, hey,
crazy.
Heads up. So here's the thing.
How were you feeling?
So, I was feeling really good, but then I started to not feel so good.
Okay.
And then I was like, wait a minute, I just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hold on a second. Timing, things aren't, things
yeah.
should be happening. And
yeah.
it wasn't. I was like, oh, all right. It's still, but I was never pregnant. So I didn't know if I could still compete. Nobody had really done that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really like that was all known, but I'm like, that's early enough. I'm with the team. I think it was fun.
Yeah.
It was good. We didn't get farther than that because there was a rope climb. There was muscle ups. No, there was more that I think the teams had to do that. My mom was like, okay, good. Glad
making
you guys
your parents
did.
Service. Yeah.
So I did tell Nicole Carroll. I did tell, I'm like,
oh, that's good.
I feel like I have to tell somebody here. Just letting you
just
know.
Just so they're aware.
I think I'm good, but I'm letting you know. This
like I need to get this off
yeah.
my chest.
So that happened sooner than we expected, and then but that's great. So then that's mm-hmm. my team. We mm-hmm. I was done with team and it was mom then.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And what was that whole process like of becoming a mom, kind of transitioning from competitor and then getting back into CrossFit afterwards?
It's really mental. Mm-hmm. If you think competing is mental, going through having your body completely change and then feel
yeah.
broken like afterwards, like I was strong through my pregnancy, but I had ended up having a C-section mm-hmm. and a whole lot of stuff during my delivery. So mm-hmm. I actually got weaker through having my son and then like the healing,
yeah,
the postpartum healing that there wasn't a whole lot out there about it. So, and just a lot of days or nights of being like, will I ever be strong again? Will I ever be able to pick something up again? Like
right.
you just feel very weak when I wasn't ever used to feeling that weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, there's a lot of mental, just, you know, coming back from that. And so that is actually, I think what has made me even stronger going through all the changes.
Yeah.
But the good part is I could relearn my movements because anything like, you know, when you get so far into it, you're like, I really should work on that. But who wants to really go back so far to work?
Right.
I learned how to squat and use uh-huh. more of a posterior chain. Like, I mean, there are all these things that I was like, actually, I'm going to take these opportunities to do that. And I did. And so that mm-hmm. was the cool things out of it. But going through it, you're like, you don't see the other side because you've never done it.
Right.
So you're like, will I come out on the other side?
You don't know if it's there.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And then at some point, I don't know the timing of this, because eventually you started commentating as well.
Yeah.
And you came back and did some regional competitions and things like that. But what was that kind of next phase of your CrossFit career like?
Yeah, I was, I'm trying to think how old. So I guess my son was one mm-hmm. around that time. And I got a call from Rory. He's mm-hmm. like, hey, how you doing? And it was funny because he was in 2009. He was like, he was doing interviews and stuff. Yeah. So that's how I remembered him from interviews. And he's like, hey, do you want to come out? We're doing this like little, it was just like a little media thing, uh-huh. a little get together with people who might be interested in doing some media for CrossFit. And he's like, you know, you talk. Basically, I talk. So you want to come out and see if you want to do this? I've interviewed you. You're not afraid to talk. Yeah. You know, there's people afraid of the camera. Right, I'm not really that shy. So I was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Like, no idea. But nobody knew at that time what anything.
And so this was when?
This was 2012, probably.
Okay. So this is right around probably when the ESPN, Reebok, all that stuff was happening.
So it was. And that was the regional year that it was in Columbus.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah.
Columbus. And we were all there for the very first regional.
I remember. Yes. No, like I Matt remember Chan, seeing you there.
There were so many people.
Yeah. And Katie was commentating mm-hmm. too. Yes.
They had a lot of us just testing it out and just like trying to see what all of it would be.
Yeah.
So, oh my word. I had none of us had an idea. Yeah. I mean, you put headsets on, you have people talking to you in your ear while you're supposed to talk, pay attention to what's going on, know your stuff. Like it was nobody really knew. It was like, but I didn't know I would fall in love with it for a couple of years, like until you really tried.
Try it out.
A lot. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's really, I get to be a part of the game still. And I could still like every time, still to this day, every time Dave announces the champion, it hits me like 2009 when my name was, and I cry every single time in the booth. That's the only time I'm quiet, because I'm crying, because I'm like, I can't handle like that
the emotion
and knowing what that feels like, even though it was different. It's the same,
it's
as
the
a competitor.
Same.
You
oh
know that
gosh.
Feeling, and it's like, oh, it's done, and it feels so good. So
that's so amazing.
Yeah. So I really got to relive it, and that's why I'm so thankful for my journey here at CrossFit that mm-hmm. I was able to see, you know, that side of it. I still got to see the competition through like that lens of the camera, and it was really a neat perspective
to see it. And you've seen it from so many different angles now, mm-hmm. from, you know, from being an affiliate owner, from competing, from the media side mm-hmm. of things, and competing in different ways with a team, with the individual. How do you approach the Open now? Like, have you done the Open every year, and how do you approach it with like a different mindset depending on what phase of life you're in?
Yeah, there's been so many phases that it's like, I used to have so much of my identity wrapped up in I have to do so well on this, and I need to, but I never was an athlete that liked to know the workouts. Like, I'd rather just go see what I can do. I don't love pressure. Mm-hmm. I don't. And mm-hmm. so I don't like expectations. I just want to go do what I can do. I really don't like the camera when I'm working out.
Yeah.
I just want to go work hard and have nobody see me do it. But, so it took, different seasons of my life when I wasn't as strong to realize like it really doesn't, it's
doesn't
that
it,
there's
that
so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much more. So now like I've gotten back to so much to having fun working out. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people say they go through those phases. I will write a book about the life cycle of a CrossFitter.
Yes.
Like there is such a life cycle of a CrossFitter that it's ridiculous. But
there is.
That's, during my cycle, like it was just the, I wanted to get back to fun, and it really is now. Josh and I get to work out at, we moved our affiliates in a new place. And so one of our goals when we moved in, we're like, we want to just work out there and have fun again and just not take it all so serious. It's just working out. Like there's so much more to life. Like that is just a workout. So
for sure.
It's so easy to say it. And then it just takes practice to really
to
just
actually
remember.
Feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so much more than what you do out there.
It's so true. It's hard to see sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's so true. So when you talk about the life cycle of a CrossFitter, what are some of those like highs and lows in your own sort of journey?
CrossFit opens your eyes to like, oh, I have so much more potential and I can mm-hmm. do so much more. And when you feel that and you start to learn things, like the excitement is unreal as a new beginning CrossFitter. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, like you just want to do everything at the same. And like, you're so pumped up and like you're PRing left and right. And then you start to like, wait a minute. I'm not PRing as much. And then like, I'm starting to feel a little injured or a little banged up. And then mm-hmm. you start to doubt. And then like all that creeps in. You're like, wait a minute. Well, what's happening? Maybe I'm not doing the right things. And then like, then you start to get a little too mental because it was like mm-hmm. so much confidence. And then you come back down.
Yep.
And then it's like, then you start to get smarter. And then you have to humble yourself and take a step back and drop some weights, mm-hmm. scale appropriately. And it's so hard if you miss some of that and you just stay where you're at and trying to like,
it comes back to bite you.
It does. Yeah. And so with my different children, mm-hmm. I learned to not let that come back and bite me a second one. I was like, it doesn't matter. When it comes back, it comes back. And yep. that's going to be what happens. And mm-hmm. it's okay.
Just be
it's
patient.
It's okay. Be patient.
Right.
Yeah.
But you probably had to go through it the first time to realize, yeah. you know, you are going to come out on the other side eventually. Right. It may take different amounts of time, mm-hmm. but...
And, like, don't beat yourself up, because here's the thing. Like, you know, you hear all the time when it's like, oh, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, you do, but CrossFit's also, you train so that you don't have to do everything yeah. all the time, and you can still be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. So people surprise themselves that you still can go out and lift. And I think that was, like, kind of, well, I would, like, that would be my security or my, like, reminder of, like, okay, don't beat yourself up. I'd go out and be like, oh, no way. I just
I
did
that. Still
just
that. That. Yeah.
I just did that. Like, oh, I still, okay. I'm not as bad as I like think in my head when something goes wrong. And I see that with my, you know, some of my members, like they get injured or they have a little setback or they take some time off because life happens mm-hmm. and they come back in and it's like, I have to do what I was doing. It's like, no, you don't have to. You actually really don't have to.
Yeah.
You just scale a little bit and it's going to be okay. Don't hurt yourself over it.
Right. Think you know? About the long term mm-hmm. for sure. What is your favorite part about being an affiliate owner?
That just all the members, mm-hmm. like helping the members to do something they don't believe in and helping them to find the way that they can get there mm-hmm. and really helping them with self-talk. I love
yeah.
just because that's been something I've had to overcome my whole, like that's always my whole life, the pressure yeah. of being in goal and
yeah.
penalty kicks. And like, it's a very high pressure sport. And
yeah.
so our position. So I like to help people with that to mm-hmm. like keep them. I can be more positive for other people. So
which we were just appreciating. I was talking to Christy about, we're like, we just don't know how Tanya is so positive all this. Like, it just seems to come so
no,
naturally.
It's so easy to, for other people. Like, oh, yeah, no, you have this. No, I know that about you.
It's true. It's always so much easier to put that out there for other yeah. people than the thoughts that we have in our yeah. in our own head. Do you have any tips or things that you, like, commonly are telling your members about trying to flip that attitude to a more positive one?
A lot of times it's, like, just if you don't think you can do, like... Don't look at all of it at once. It's like you just break it down and you mm-hmm. do one. Can you do one rep instead of like, I can't.
Right.
What can you? I can do this. I can do one. I know I can. So mm-hmm. do one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. And now do another one.
Right.
Okay, you're good. Like, but that's when it's like, that's the whole muscle up from the 2009. You just
yeah.
do the next one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of.
One at a time.
Yeah. But, and just kind of like, remembering what you have done and just kind of the positive self-talk, because mm-hmm. when the doubts are like, it's so easy to just like focus on that than like all the hard work and always reminding them where they came from.
Right.
Like, I know you might want to be a certain place, but and just even reminding them, it's so like short-term memory loss. It's like, don't you remember this past month that been like really bad for you? Like, kids were sick, you were
yeah.
out, like this happened at work. Like, don't you remember, give yourself
right.
a break.
Put that all into
yeah.
perspective for sure.
But I think seeing some of the, you know, when you watch the games or you watch different athletes or social media, mm-hmm. people are like, oh, everybody's keeping it up. And
right.
so you feel like you're falling behind if you're not keeping it up with everybody else. But
right.
that's not how everybody is. People look great. And then, you know, they're actually banged up. Like,
right.
you know, it's not all what it is. So
it's so true.
I want to keep people thinking more like it's the life. And like, I want to be healthier. I don't mm-hmm. really care about competing anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is super fun. And I wish I could do more? Absolutely. But like,
sure.
it isn't my life. Life is life. And I get to still work out and I love it. Because I just get to do workouts and
right.
I don't have to. But and I think that's the thing. I want people to get there. I'm like, mm-hmm. I want everybody to just be like, love working out.
Right. Just get to this place.
Get upset with themselves if they can't do certain things.
It's so true. So leading into, like, when you got the invitation to come to this competition, it's I mean, I felt the same way, I'm sure. But it's impossible not to, like, put a little bit of pressure on yourself because you know you're going to be there and you're going to be performing in front of people. So did that affect your training at all, or, you know, how so?
Yeah, that's funny. I was talking about that with Josh Everett yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because you say it's not really, okay, I'm not going to put pressure on
right.
myself.
Right, you can say it, but you can't ignore the feeling.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know what it was. So at first,
right.
I'm like, well, like, I don't think any of us really
right.
knew.
We didn't know how many events or if
no.
it was going to be like one workout.
Well,
or
and is it a competition or is it like, or just like a little
hey,
showcase?
Wave.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it a showcase where we get to go out and do something?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, cool, they came out and did something. Or is it really like a competition? And
right.
until they started posting more, I don't know if it was January, February, I'm like, hang on, I think that says they're competing in that competition. Is it really a competition for us? So I wasn't quite sure, but I basically added in my training. So my training, which was
uh-huh.
working out once or twice a week.
Yep.
And I mean, I took time out. If there was a busy week or there was weeks, like, I wasn't consistent with my training
yeah.
and or my workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going through a move at the gym.
Okay.
So really, I didn't really start thinking about this until we were moved into the gym in January.
Okay.
So, and then I'm like, okay, I need to think about this and add a little bit more. So, Josh and I just committed to our schedule to getting in there and doing the group workouts. And we just did that. So I'm only working out like 3 or 4 times a week. Like it's not anything crazy, but that for me is a lot. Cause,
it's the consistency.
Yes. This is just the way my body is, but I do build muscle, but you have to manage muscle because it gets stuck together with your fascia.
Yeah.
Like you have to deal with like all of that pieces. Stuff that goes along with it. And that takes time and it takes all the nutrition and all the extra thinking. And it's not that any of that's real. It's not really bad. I do a good job for health, but when you think about competition, you're like everything that you think, I'm like, oh, Ohio,
right.
Everything was, oh, but Ohio, like, you know,
I know. Damn. That's what my husband was like. I can't wait till this rope thing is over.
I know. It's like, I'm just like, oh,
it's not even big, but it makes you realize like how much it took when we were competing like at that level. And it's like, wow, it was just so much sacrifice and so all consuming, you know, all of your thoughts, every decision you make is around that. And we got like a little taste of that again. And it's,
I know.
It's very,
easy.
It's a good reminder.
It's a good reminder.
For sure.
Because, and it even is it's a great reminder, like what all these athletes do. And even the athletes that don't make it to the games that put in, like
it's
the regional, sectional level athletes. Yeah. It's just so much time commitment.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The time, the energy, the stress. I mean, you probably felt this, but like when I said, okay, I'm done. Like I knew that was my last competition. It was a huge weight. Like I felt like, wow, I didn't really know I've been living at this level of stress. On a daily basis until it was gone. Because you think you're like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just doing my thing. But it is. It's constantly on your mind. So it's kind of hard to avoid.
And, you know, when you're just fried because of all of the stress of life and most of becoming a mom, like it was like, well, yeah, with 2 kids and a gym and just trying to be a good wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, daughter, like all those other relationships I wanted to tend to and like be good at is pressure and stress. And so
And it's selfish, right? Like you have to put so much into your own training that I remember too feeling like, wow, I'm so excited to actually be able to do things for other people now and put other people first. And like, it doesn't matter if I have to stay up late or I'm going out to eat at this restaurant that's not good for me or whatever, because I'm there with my family or I'm supporting someone that I care about. So
yeah, it is. But and I think that's where talking to Becca Voigt, Becca Miller yesterday.
Yes.
And I was like, I am so inspired that you can do this for so many years.
It's
like, how did you not burn out? Like, how do you not, like, this weekend is already frying me and we're 1 day in from my stress. I'm like, I just, my body can't take that. I'm like, how do you take this stress? And it really is her mental game. Like, she really is so,
so strong.
She's so just level with all of it. I mean, when she said about her hands. Like, how she reacts, like, it's such a mental sport of, like, having to keep yourself so that the stress doesn't
get to
you.
You can't let the stress get to you. Yeah. Yeah. To see her and Sam is just unbelievable.
I know.
That they can just do this
year after year.
It's just.
Yes.
It's so impressive.
It really
is. Some of these. And I mean, the guys too, like Ben Smiths and the Scott Panchiks and the guys who are still out there in the individual arena. It's just unbelievable.
And I also love that they love it. And I love that everybody's individual. Christy Ermo just shared that I saw her. I'm like, good for you. I'm glad you made your decision. Cause you know, when you feel that way, I know there's other pressures of like, should I, like, when's a good time to go? But if you really feel it, do it. Yes, you will wonder, but like do it for you. Cause you want to look back and be like, I should have.
Right.
If you felt it and you're not 100% in, but you talk to Sam Briggs, she's like,
She's all in. She loves it.
And I'm like, that's awesome.
It's so cool.
It is.
It's so cool. At the end of the day, that's what it is. You have to do what you love and what you're passionate about and what makes you happy, you know? And so it's exciting just to see everyone in their different evolutions of the sport and their careers
and where it's going to go next, because we've been through a couple
big changes. Yeah.
So you don't know, like, what's this next season going to look like, or what is the new era, like the next one. And you don't know when it's going to change. And it's like, well, we kind of know right now this is a pivotal point in CrossFit Games.
Definitely.
So
what were some of your reactions? I mean, because I know the different reactions talking to different people in the community, but you're an affiliate owner, you know, you were involved in the games as a competitor and then through media. When you heard about all these changes to the game season, what were your reactions?
I loved regionals. Like, I love the open. I mean, from a media standpoint, the open announcements, that was, like, such a good – it was just – there's something so cool. really special in yeah. the open announcements. And then the regionals really felt like it was the games for so many people. So mm-hmm. I was heartbroken, like a lot of people, of just missing that feel. Right. Because that's my like soft spot for the people of like, oh, I want everybody to feel what that feels like to be out there. It's so great.
You think about all the people who are training yes. to get to regionals and now.
And that was their games yeah. that for so many people. Yeah. That was. I understand things change. And so from that side of it with media, I was disappointed in those changes. Mm-hmm. But from an affiliate owner standpoint, there were people that were starting to, you know, feel like the pressure of, oh, this is where CrossFit's going, mm-hmm. competition, and it's volume, and it's just so much. And so even though, you know, things look completely different yeah. on the website, you know, I think it is easier than to share with people like, no, it isn't what you're seeing more mm-hmm. immediate. But even though that got so many people, you know, seeing the games and curious about what it was,
right.
now seeing that it's okay to have it look completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that you get to see that contrast too mm-hmm. as an affiliate owner, to be like, no, I know you see that. Like, trust me, like, right. no, it's not just that. But so I do. I like that part of it from an affiliate owner standpoint. So I have like mixed emotions, but I'm curious where, like, this whole year is just the unknown.
You it
know,
is.
Just wondering.
It's
wondering
a big transition.
Like, yeah.
And it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think next year things will become a little bit more clear and a little bit mm-hmm. more focused. But it's been cool to see it evolve. And I mean, I can't imagine being an athlete going through this and this. We talked about stress, but the level of stress with the unknown and not knowing where to go to compete or what to do. But I mean, it's been amazing to see all of them just continue elevating the whole yeah. sport.
They keep doing it. They show up and they perform and then they go to the next one.
And they make it look easy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
exactly.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. I wanted to go through some of your memories, because we talked a little bit about some memories looking back, but do you have, looking back over the past, 12-ish years since you've been doing CrossFit, like favorite highs and any lows that you wanted to share?
My games are my highs, like being there mm-hmm. out, like I love the competition floor. Like mm-hmm. there is something so much, so fun about being out there mm-hmm. and just feeling like you can do what you've worked so hard to do.
Yeah.
So, being out there is highs. The lows, you know, I think more of the lows in the sport were really like on my own. Like when I had to come back for my kids,
yeah.
like both of my C-sections, that was like, those were the hardest times mm-hmm. for me. Because I just didn't feel like I was a CrossFitter anymore.
Right.
Like, it felt like I didn't, you know, if I wasn't doing what I could, then I wasn't, I'm not back to being a CrossFitter yet. But it's
right.
like, you still are. That's such a weird thing to think of it that way.
Yeah.
But those are probably my lows. But they, again, like other stuff, like that makes you, it gets you to the next.
Mm-hmm. You learn from
yeah.
it. And that's something that I think a lot of women, I mean, now women are talking about it more, but there's so much still unknown about that postpartum period. And a lot of women don't really talk about how hard it is, especially getting back into the gym and that being like a big part of their identity and their community. Do you have any advice for moms who are going through? I mean, now actually this year, a lot of my friends had babies. So
yes.
now I'm like getting to see it through their eyes. And do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, really, it's do what you need to for your baby first, because the first year is really hard with a baby mm-hmm. and it goes really fast. And so if you feel like you want to work out and you want to get in, do it, and don't feel guilty and don't feel selfish. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do it, don't beat yourself up, rest and relax. Like, there isn't a right way. I mean, you can go from trying to get right back in like I did the first
right.
kid or not with my second kid. And it's okay. Both ways are okay. But you have to kind of don't feel the pressure of what other people are doing and listen to your body. Like mm-hmm. if a movement or things just don't feel right, or like don't, but go out and get some sunshine, go for a walk and do
yeah.
what you can do. And, but just don't beat yourself up. Don't think, don't go down that road where you're like the negative path of all of it. It will change. You will come out of it. There's mm-hmm. a million women out there that have kids and they do. And you're
great.
Not going to be the one that doesn't. Like, you will, if you just take the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And it's so cool to see Christy out here like
a year
after having her
so
baby.
So inspiring.
And I know. It's like amazing. I'm like, I can't even keep up there. I'm like, I have no excuse. I didn't have a kid.
No, it's it. But that's you for her. That was, and I look at that and I'm like, oh man, I couldn't do that. And I'm like, don't beat yourself
but
up.
Right,
that
don't
was my
compare
thing.
Yourself,
and
yeah.
Christy did. And she like, that was the discipline. So that, and that worked for her. And that is super cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Awesome.
It's so cool to be out there with all of these people at completely different stages
oh, yeah.
of life and just like having
yeah.
a good time.
Yeah, I know.
I did want to bring up your bracelet because you pointed that out to me before we went out on the floor, and you're wearing this Faith RX bracelet, and I know you worked closely with Becky Konzelman.
Yes, I did. One of the Iron Sharp and Irons Camp in Baltimore. And this is the, when I saw her for the last time last year at the games, she gave this to me. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as she went in the hospital and I heard what had happened, mm-hmm. I put this on. And when I work out, she's who I think of. Mm-hmm. And I try to do it for her and kind of think of just her spirit and her attitude toward working out and toward mm-hmm. people and love and her love for God. And so, and just her presence to people in the community. She was such a, just an inspiration and just a support for people. And mm-hmm. she didn't have to be, and that was her, and that's what she did. And so, so I wore this to be here, and I know you know her as well. And, so that was why that's I wore amazing. This, wanted to bring it here.
Yeah. And I know she was someone who, like, you know, we knew each other from competitions and training here and there, but she always would kind of push, like, she knew that I had faith, but I wasn't quite involved in this Faith RX or the camps that she was doing, but she would always kind of push me to be like, you should try, you should come mm-hmm. to one of our things. She would give me she gave me the little keychain with the Bible yes. verses on it, and she was always there, like, with open arms, kind of encouraging you.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, her legacy will live on for sure in yes. CrossFit. She's touched so many lives.
Oh, she is. So. It's just like, if everybody thought of others the way she did, mm-hmm. the world would be a better place for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. she would call me before one of the opens, and she's like, just want to let you know I was thinking of you.
I'm
like, she would just do those things, the text and just like, because she knew things that would make me nervous or whatever it is. And she was just, you know, that person was always there for you. She really did know how to extend a hand and just be love. And so she was a very special person to a lot of competitors.
Yeah.
All through the years she competed and didn't compete, she still was making an impact with her.
Definitely.
With her support and her love for people.
Definitely. Yeah. So we'll be thinking of her this weekend.
Yes.
I want to wrap up with three questions that I ask everyone on the podcast. So the first one is the three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
I sing in the car loud.
No, that's amazing.
I love when
what
I get
kind of things you sing.
I sing loud Christian music and I worship music. So that is what I do
when I drop
my kids off at school.
Yeah.
And then I sing. I have my mom time of like sing worship time in the car. It's always been like my de-stressor if I sing loud in the car. So yes, that's number one.
Okay.
And you know, in through that, that's kind of my prayer time too. And I have, devotional time is depending on the season of my life. It mm-hmm. looks different for what that looks like. So, but my singing is pretty consistent in the car. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, my working out and being part of my community at my mm-hmm. gym, like that being a part of CrossFit Apex is a lot of, they're my friends, they're my family. Like being there is, that to me is part of my health, is mm-hmm. being in a healthy community. There's a lot of bad in the world, and they always tell my members, I'm like, but I don't see it because I'm always with you.
Yes.
And so when I get to be surrounded by good people, I like that bubble I'm in. Like it. And I'm really fortunate to be able
to
be with my community. And the third thing is really my family. I really love mm-hmm. getting family time. Like that's where I struggle with like the balance of taking time to do CrossFit or work out for myself. But we take the kids to the gym and all of that. But I love family time for me. I feel filled up when mm-hmm. I get to be with my people. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're here this weekend.
So and how old are your kids now?
8 and 5.
8 and 5. And so what do they think about this? Because, I mean, do they know that you're a CrossFit Games champion? Do
they
do, have any understanding?
They don't know. They know that name, but they don't really know actually what it means.
Yeah.
My son does. My daughter doesn't really know. We were getting here, and she's like, "No, what are we doing here again? What's this about?"
is there going to be a pool?
Yeah, she was concerned about the pool at the hotel.
Yeah.
That's all she cared about, and there isn't even one. So her bubble was bursted about the weekend. But no, my son, it was neat because he started wrestling this year.
Okay.
So we got to see from a parent standpoint the nerves of kid nervous.
Yeah.
So
it's probably 10 times worse.
Yes, it is. So we've had a little bonding this weekend over like nerves and understanding how that feels, and it's okay not to be number one, but you always give it your best and you do what you can do and you get out there, and it's like dealing with nerves, and it's okay to be nervous, but get out there and do your best.
That's
so
awesome.
So he's been really cool. He likes to tell people that I'm shooting a gun for competition. He heard that and he was just pumped about me shooting a gun at a competition. So that was what he told everybody.
That's the highlight.
That was the highlight. Yeah.
That's so awesome. It's so awesome that you get to perform in front of them too.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I was like, you know, this probably, like, you never know. This could be the last time out on the main floor, and it'd be cool for some, you know, if he can remember some of it. It's pretty neat.
That's awesome. So. What about one thing that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you have a hard time implementing it, or you haven't done it yet?
Let's see. So probably more relaxation. Like, I need to do more of the non-stimulating things. So
it's probably hard with two kids.
It is. And having, finding quiet time just to myself. And I don't do the body maintenance. Like, if I would go get massages and really get work done on my body, take some of the energy, like the stress energy off me, that would help. So I really, that would be more of just taking care of myself that way would be a lot of... Oh, it'd be a lot of benefit to that.
It'd be good, definitely. Last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Healthy life, to me, it's really hard. People say about balance, like balance things. But a healthy life to me is the season you're in. If you're doing the best with the season that you're in, making the choices that you can for the best choices you can in a situation.
I love that. That's a perfect theme for this weekend, I think. Doing the best with the season that you're in and having fun while doing it. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. This was super fun.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. Thanks for chatting.
Hey there. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. I loved catching up with Tanya and hearing more about the history of the CrossFit Games and how her relationship with CrossFit has changed over the past 12 years. Some of my biggest takeaways from the episode include, number one, the importance of getting back to working out for fun. Sometimes our relationship with training changes over the years, and as she talked about, it's so important to find out what makes it fun for you and get back to that at the end of the day. Now, for some people like Sam Briggs or Becca Voigt, as we talked about in the podcast, they're still training at the highest level for years and years, and they're enjoying every minute. But for some people, it may look completely different. That's okay. It's important to just figure out what it is that makes training fun for you. Number two, the importance of recognizing that there are seasons and stages of your life cycle as a CrossFitter. Embrace these changes and every step of the process, knowing that your journey is unique and that you cannot compare to the person next to you. And number three, I loved how Tanya talked about the importance of a positive attitude and positive self-talk and some of her tips for doing so. Things like taking things one step at a time, remembering where you came from and how much progress you've made, and trying again not to compare yourself to others, but to focus on your own journey. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode as well, and that you took away some positive lessons just like I did. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. Now, I don't know about you, but over here in Cleveland, I am starting to get very excited about summertime, which means it's almost time for one of my favorite things, grilling season. Growing up, my family had a cottage in northern Michigan, and some of my fondest memories are evenings gathering with friends and family on the porch for a big barbecue after a long day of boating, swimming, and tubing on the lake. The more I learn about health, the more I've come to believe that it matters so much where our food comes from, and particularly when it comes to meat. I believe that meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics versus those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. High-quality meat like this is hard to come by, but ButcherBox makes it super easy by delivering 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild Alaskan sockeye salmon directly to your doorstep. All of their products are humanely raised and never ever given antibiotics or hormones. This gives me a lot of peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat and seafood is the highest quality out there and will taste amazing. Plus, they offer free shipping anywhere in the contiguous 48 United States. How amazing is that?
So after 3 years of living in our house, my husband Danny and I are super excited to finally be finishing off our tiny little backyard this spring, and I can't wait to fire up our grill and enjoy our ButcherBox meats with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And now you can join us, because ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer for Pursuing Health listeners. $20 off plus an ultimate barbecue bundle for free with your first box. Now, the bundle includes 2 New York strip steaks, baby back ribs, as well as 2 pounds of ground beef, which is a $59 value. Supplies are limited, though, so you'll want to order now to take advantage of this offer. You can go right to butcherbox.com/Julie to place your order. Once again, that's $20 off plus the ultimate barbecue bundle, 2 strip steaks, baby back ribs, and 2 pounds of ground beef for free with your first box by going to butcherbox.com/Julie. If you're looking forward to hosting your first backyard barbecue of the season as much as I am, hopefully you'll check this out.